Amen.
All right, let's look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. And then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. For this is the first and great commandment. The second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by what?
Love.
By love. Let's go over to Romans, Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now I want to read that out of this translation that I've got in my book here. I think it's the, might be the Amplified. Yeah, that verse in the Amplified, put it up there, please. Now, what we're doing is we're having a new law established. The new law that's being established is the law of love. Look at what he says. For the promise to Abraham or his posterity. Posterity are people who come after him. All right? Ancestors are people who come before you. Posterity comes after you. That he should inherit the world did not come through observing the commands of the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now, what was he going to inherit according to that scripture? What was Abraham being chosen to inherit? The world. All of it. From the surface to the core. The whole earth. And it's interesting what it says. I'm going to come right back to Romans chapter 4, put something right there. But he says over in Romans chapter 17, he says in verse 6, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of you. That's you. You are a race of kings. Glory to God. Verse 7. And I'll establish my covenant. Pardon me. Genesis. Where did I go? Where did I say? Romans. Pardon me. Pardon me. Romans. Romans chapter 17. Thank you. Genesis chapter 17. Glory to God. I got my wife here, though. She gently corrects me. Verse 7, and I'll establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. So this promise or covenant was not made, the promise was not made just to Abraham. It was made to Abraham and his seed. Now Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29 says, that if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's who? Seed. And what? Heirs according to the promise. What promise? That he was going to what? Inherit the what? World. Everything. Everything. Now, somebody immediately go back to say, well, that wasn't talking about seeds as many. It was talking about seeds as one, and that seed, which is Christ. That's scripture. But Christ got everything and became the legal owner of everything. Hebrews chapter 1, please, and verse 2, quickly. And he became the legal. He came and got it all back. He paid the price for our sins. He got back the people and the property. Now, this is all legal. Had in these days spoken to, start at verse 1 so I can get the, I can get them to have a continuity. God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by who? His Son, whom he hath appointed what? Heir of how many things? All things, by whom also he made the worlds. Listen, Jesus Christ is the lawful owner of everything. But it says over in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, put that up there, please. Glory to God. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Say, I'm a son of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, what? Abba, Father. Keep going. The Spirit itself bears witness with my spirit, our spirit, that we are the who? Children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of who? God. And joint heirs with who? Christ. Now, the key to it is that all this is already done. This is already done. He's already got the world back, and he's given you authority over it. Say amen to that. So God is not running the world. God is running the church. The church should be running the world. Now, when he says that you are a legal owner of everything, that means that Christ being the legal owner of everything, and you're joint heirs with him, that means you're responsible for this earth and what goes on in it. Say amen to that. Amen. So now God is going to take you and take you into that world. So he deliberately dispatches the righteous among the wicked on purpose. Look at that. That's found in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 31. I know I'm going through some scripture, but hang on. Praise God. Hang on. Look what he says here. Now, I'm saying this because you are not broke. I said you are not broke. In fact, you have a huge supply. Glory to God. And should have a bountiful eye. Boy, that rhymes, doesn't it? A huge supply with a bountiful eye. All right, look what he says. Another parable put he forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Yeah. And indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it's the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so the birds of the air come and lodge on the branches. Now, we've had that before. All right, let's see what he's talking about here. Let's see what we're doing here. What's the hang up here? Now, the major hang up is that the church has heard carnal sermons. They've aroused our emotion, but they didn't do much to grow our faith. And this that God has given you has got to be by faith. Let's go to Romans chapter 4 and verse 16. Let's just go there. I know I'm taking you fast, but just write the scripture down, praise God, and get the tape. Therefore, it's of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to how many of the seed? How much of the seed? All the seed. Take it and put it in the Amplified, please. Put that same scripture in the Amplified. Now, this is where you come into play. He said this. Therefore, it's of faith, Amplified. Therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith in order that it might be given as an act of grace, unmerited favor to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to how many of his descendants? All of his descendants. All of them. Not only the inheritance of the law, but the church. Now, all of his descendants does not just include the different categories of people, but all of his descendants also include whatever age they are. See, and that's what I was talking about on Sunday, the little boy's faith. David was 16 years old, 17 years old, and he is the one that set Israel free. Why? Because he had the faith in that covenant to do it. Say amen to that. And the tendency is that we take the kids and say, get on out here and play. If they're saved, they need to come in and help you believe God to cancel that debt on your car and so forth. Why? Because they got the same faith that you do. Their faith that they have just inherited by being born again is the exact same faith that you have. And that faith moves. That faith transfers. Lord, have mercy. Help me, Holy Ghost. The faith that God has given you doesn't move God. That faith is something, glory to, it's not something to you that you, faith is not something you do to get God to respond. Faith just moves you into position to get what God has already provided. You don't have to sit up and beg God for something that's already yours. That healing is already yours. Come on, that husband is already yours. I'm putting it in there. Yeah, I'm putting it all in there. My point to you is that faith is the missing ingredient. And when that faith is not there, we can't do something. But we inherited the world, folks. It's not supposed to be that the world is controlling the economy. That's not supposed to be. That's not supposed to be that the world is making laws for this for the nations so that these laws are ungodly and you and I have to go up against or whatever against these laws and or have people to be subject to these laws. That shouldn't be. It shouldn't be that much murder be going on in the cities. It shouldn't be. This is on our watch. The earth doesn't belong to the devil. Nothing in it. Jesus got it all back. And when he got it all back, he gave it to you. He said, now take dominion. Take up where Adam left off. Are y'all with me here? Oh, have mercy. Feel like I'm preaching too hard. Okay. All right. Now, let's deal with culture for just a minute, because that's kind of where I left off. But I want to make sure you understand this. Adam was in the garden. He and Eve sinned. Nature changed. Now Satan became their boss. Now he's going to take them and create his own world. And we call it culture. When I was in college, I was in college in pre-med, biology, and chemistry minor. And I was in college, and they had a course that I had to take in my major called microbiology. And in microbiology, we begin to study the study of microbes, small things that cause things that you can't see that's causing something you can see. And so they had something that called a Petri dish. It's a little dish, a little round dish. It's plastic and or glass, and they have it. And inside of it, they just put a thin coat of a liquid in there, but the liquid quickly turns to a gel. It turns to a gel. And so now it's a gel. It looks like caramel, if you look, caramel candy, that color. And so what you do with it is they want to investigate what's causing something. And so they use this Petri dish, and then what we would do is take a little dab of something and put it on that little caramel kind of substance and then push it in a stove called an incubator and push it in there and leave it in there for a couple of days and then bring it out, and whatever we dabbed on there is growing all over that thing. Got it? So notice what happens here with a culture is that you just plant a seed, and what Jesus said is beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, of the Sadducees, and one place he said the Herodians. What about the Pharisees? The Pharisees are strict legalism. They don't believe that everything is legalistic. There is no grace in it. And the Sadducees don't believe in angels or the hereafter. That's why they were sad, you see. And the Herodians didn't believe nothing. They're just as worldly as a goose. And so what happened is, beware of that, because you can get a little leaven, and he wasn't talking about the good part, he's talking about leavening with bad. And so Satan now is going to leaven every environment with his culture, his seed. See? And he was always after the seed. He was after even, glory to God. Y'all got time for this? Look at Genesis chapter 6, if you will. Over in Genesis chapter 6, look what he says here. And I'll start reading here at verse 3. Let's start reading at verse 3. And he said this, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, like his days, yet his days shall be 120 years. Next. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children of them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. So fallen angels had sex with women who were in the earth." Now, what is Satan after? Producing his own race of people. Are y'all with me? All right, now look at the next verse. He said this, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and thoughts of his heart were only evil." How long? Continually. That's all he could think about, was something evil. Now, who had caused this to happen? Satan. How did Satan get in? Because of Adam and Eve. So now he's using a fallen race to produce his culture and his kingdom. Got it? Stay with me. Praise God. Jesus is coming. Where did he come from? The Father. Now understand, Satan was after that seed. And in every case, he wanted to contaminate that seed. In Genesis chapter 20, this is when Abimelech got Sarah in his house. Why? He was going to lie with her. Why? To produce something. Why? Because Satan had caught a hold that God had picked this man Abraham. So he was trying to contaminate the gene pool of society. Say amen. Amen. Not only that, if you go in the book of Exodus, and you'll see in Exodus chapter 2, glory to God, and you'll see that, Exodus chapter 1. And look at verse 21. This is when the children of Israel were down in Egypt. Now, Satan is still after that seed because he knows he can take one seed and he can germinate it and get a culture started all over the world. Look what he says. "And it came to pass because the midwives feared God that they made them houses." Glory to God. "And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born, you shall what? Cast him into the river." What is a son considered as? The seed. So Satan is still after that seed. Look at Matthew's gospel and Matthew chapter 2. And this is when Jesus was born. And notice Pharaoh, when the wise men came, and Herod asked the wise men, "Now, when did this star appear?" And they told him about 2 years ago. That means the wise men had been on the road following this star over a year. And they were coming to the house of Jesus. Boy, God knows where you live and how to get there. And look what he said in verse 16. "And Herod," this is chapter 2 and verse 16. "And Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew" how many? "All the children that were born in Bethlehem, and all the coasts thereof, from what? 2 years old and under." Satan's trying to keep this seed from being sown in the earth, because when it is sown, it's going to grow up. Jesus taught on it. Look at John chapter 12, please, in verse 24. Now, I'm talking about you are the seed of Abraham. You are the seed that God is sowing, and Satan hates you. Look what it says. Verily I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it does die, what is it going to bring forth? It's going to bring forth much fruit. Who was Jesus prophesying about? Himself. First, himself. He was saying that I'm coming to this earth and I got to die. But if you let me die, I'm going to bring forth much fruit. Glory to God. Are y'all with me? And when I come up, if I live, you're going to live too. And so in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, I know I'm covering a lot of scriptures, but just hush your mouth and just write the thing down. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the what? Word of God. Which what? Liveth and abideth forever. Now, who is he talking about? You. You were born again. How did you get born again? By the what? Come on, saints. How did you get born again? By the word of God. Now, the word of God is God. How do I know that? John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. So if I got the word, I got who? God. And when you were born again, you were born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. So you were born by the word of God. So if you were born by the word of God, whatever God has in him, come on, help me. So my point to you is that you and I have the DNA of God. Stop looking at your flesh. That's not you. That is your house that you are residing in while you're here. But God is going to send you into the ungodly. He's going to send you among a culture that believes that same-sex marriage is okay and that's the way to go. Well, don't blame them. They don't have any knowledge of what is, Lord have mercy. That you can't get mad at them, Lord have mercy. Look what it says over here in John chapter 15 and verse 25. Y'all with me? You are precious to God, but understand he's gonna sow you into some soil that is hostile to you. But if you let your flesh die, you coming up. The culture will be changed if you just go in there and get the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, come on, and joy, come on, and peace, come on, and long suffering, and so forth. Because the seed of the Word of God is the most powerful thing that there is. It's the word of the kingdom, and the word of the kingdom is all powerful. I'm preaching. Y'all got me all with me. Now, I'm saying this because the enemy's temptation is to tempt you away from following God. He tell you, oh, this is not going to work. Let me tell you, it'll work every time. If you, oh, have mercy. You got to start in faith, stay in faith, and finish where? In faith. So it's our responsibility as God plants us, some of us, into the worst places in the earth to know that, first of all, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Lord Jesus. Look, folks, let me tell you something. I'm not going to cover this time because I don't have enough time. But next time, I'm going to get into vengeance. And I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you how God will protect you. I said, how God will protect you. Now, in Moses' case, Satan was using Pharaoh to not let the children of Israel go. But God said, I'm going to show my power. And after that, he will let you go. And And by the way, when you come out, you're not coming out empty. Say amen to that. And see, what happened is Pharaoh tried to stop him. But notice, each time, God's power moved. And it moved in such a way that he can affect, glory to God. Pharaoh couldn't even touch Moses. He couldn't touch him. I'm telling you, he can't touch you. Now, you got to believe he can't touch you. Folks, we about to get something now we've never had before in our lives. Now, this is what I'm talking about. No, glory to God. Over in Genesis 20, I've even forgotten where I am, but where am I, by the way? What scripture did I end up with? John 15, 25. All right, John 15, 25 says, Jesus said they hated me without a cause. Okay, fine. All right. Genesis chapter 20. I'm talking about if they hated him, they're going to hate you. But listen, the Bible says over in, watch this now, over in Genesis and Genesis chapter, glory to God, help me, Holy Ghost. Over in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Look at that one. And then I'm going to Genesis chapter 20. Stay with me. Hallelujah. But I say unto you, what? Love your enemies. Underline it, forget it. All right, I'm just saying, wait a minute, you got to love people that hate you. The supervisor hates you. What do you got to do? Love him. Because you are the seed of Abraham. You are the seed that God is planting into this earth so he can change the culture. Now, could God just go in there and wipe everybody out? Well, he probably could, but he won't do that. Why? Because God so loved the what? World. He wants to save them, but he wants to save them through you. That you've got to go in and represent something that they've never seen before. They didn't know that that could be heaven on earth. But when you go in there, let your light so shine that men may see your what? Good work. And do what? Glorify your Father. Say, hey, I want to be saved. These people saw, there was a sister that worked for me at IBM in Minnesota when I was there. And she just saw God in my life. She saw it. And so what happened? We invited her to our service one time. And so she was sitting way in the back. And so I got to service and we had praise and worship. Then I began to kind of talk. And I said, now at the end of the service, I said, if somebody wants to get born again and so forth, I said, that's one of the reasons why we're here, so we can get everybody into the kingdom of God, so forth and so on. Then the hand goes up in the back. I said, yes, I want to be saved. I said, okay, that's how I say. At the end of the service, we're going to call for people and so forth, want to be saved and so forth. Yeah. I understand, I was new. And so, and then I started talking again, and the hand went up again. I said, yes, Ann, I want to be saved now. Well, I'm telling you, I said, praise God. Now, wait a minute. That's the way people should be in looking at your life. I want to be saved now. And I'm telling you, you should represent heaven on earth. They should see your walk. They should see your countenance. They should see your talk. They should see the way you handle yourself. They should see your profitability. They should see everything and want to know who is your God. Let your light so what? Shine. Now look what happened here when a king tried to take one of the seed's offspring or wife or whatever have you. And so here's Abimelech. So Abimelech takes Abraham's wife into his harem, and that was, he was a king. And look at verse 3. But this is chapter 20, verse 3. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night, and he said to him, behold, you are but a dead man. For the woman which you've taken, she's another man's wife. And I'm telling you right now, and you better hear what I'm saying. I'm saying God is coming, we're coming into a time right now that everything that God has prepared for you and planned for you to do is going to come to pass. And that whatever Satan has tried to do to hold you down, whatever he has put in your path, whoever he has been using to try to cut you off, your struggle is over. Come on. Whatever's tampering with your destiny in God is going to have to pay. Now, understand, Pharaoh didn't heed to it. He kept after Moses. He kept after the children of Israel. Here comes a famine. Here comes some hailstorms. Here comes everything else. But Pharaoh still wouldn't acquiesce. As a result of that, now Moses and them left Egypt, and Pharaoh went after him. The dumbest mistake he could ever make. Because now what's going to have to happen to get him to stop? I'm going to have to take him off the earth. And so that's what God does. I'm telling you, you're in a place where they do you wrong, they can't sleep. Now, I'm going to preach this the next time. See, we have taken all we're going to take. And God has got to get the job done because we're out of time. We are behind schedule, and people's lives are being lost because people have been blocking the way to the kingdom. But when you go out now, God's going with you, and he's going to fight for you and give you every victory. Say amen to that. Woo-wee! Look out, devil. Here we come. Now, very quickly, understand that as we're doing this, there are forces that are set up to stop us. There are all kinds of forces working with the Gentiles to keep us from getting to where we want to go. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7, please. Woo! Woo! That's what they used to say when I was a kid. You in trouble. All right. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 7. And look what happened. Verse 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring you into the land where you're going to possess it. You're going to possess this now. By the way, the title of this is, we're in a series called The Power of Love. And this subtitle is called Possessing Your Mountain. Amen. I just thought I'd tell you that for you. And the Lord shall bring you into the land which you go and possess it, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites. Watch this. The Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. Now, I want you to see that. Now, let's just go over, if you will, to Joshua chapter 9, verse 1. Now, this is just a sample of this. Now, watch what's happening. He says, and it came to pass when all the kings which were on this side of Jordan in the hills and in the valleys and in all the coasts of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, heard thereof. They gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. Notice, they're teaming up on Joshua. Why? Because they can't whip him by themselves. So they're getting together. So demons sometimes get together. Oh, you come on now. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Joshua had done what done unto Jericho at Ai, whereupon, O king of... They did work willingly and went and made as if it had been ambassadors and took old sacks upon their asses or donkeys and wine bottles old and rent and bound up and old shoes and clouted upon their feet and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. Now notice what they're doing. And they went to Joshua into the camp of Gilgal and said unto him and unto the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now, they just came from Maywood. We just come from a far country. Now, therefore, make ye a league with us. Come on into this unholy alliance. Now, notice what they are, Gibeonites. What are the Gibeonites? Hivites. What are the Hivites? Much more powerful than you. What are they working? Deception.
So Hivites are the spirits of deception. And these are part of the spirits that if you're trying to catch them in your natural, you can't catch them. Say amen.
Amen.
Joshua failed to seek God. And as a result of that, he made a league with them. And then they said, okay, we're safe now. He can't kill us because we are in league with him. And God doesn't want you to be in league with anybody you're not supposed to be in league with. That's number one. But I want you to see that because that is a Hivite. Another one, spirit that he said for you, is a spirit of the Jebusites. The word Jebusite means to stomp on, to hold you down, to prevent people from growing any taller, to make you feel small, to shut you up, to concede that you are a nobody. How about Gideon? Gideon said, I'm the least in my father's house. He said, we don't have any money, we're the poorest, and I'm the stupidest one in the bunch. God said, you are my mighty man of valor. Now, what am I telling you? That these are part of the spirit that Jesse talked about. He talked about dreaming, and he said, your dream will produce anything you are believing for. And so what he is saying here is that God wants us to dream. Now, what Satan does is he comes in with a spirit to keep you from dreaming large. And he comes in with a spirit. We have something in the Joseph Business School called Be All You Can Dream. I know I'm out of time. Tell them you can take it off because I'm going to preach. I'm going to finish what I'm talking about. Called Be All You Can Dream. And what you're supposed to do is get over there and dream. But it's amazing how people's dreams have been affected. God may want you to put beauty salons all over the country, and they're trying to do hair in their kitchen. They work up a plan to do something small. No, God might want you not to be a school teacher, but to own schools. God might want you, I'm just saying, look what happened to Jabez. He was afflicted with this smallness. And I'm saying there are spirits sent to make you think small. Because like Brother Copeland says, how is God going to turn a multi-trillion dollar economy over to people who don't even think they're supposed to have anything? I'm here to tell you right now, one of the reasons you're with me is you're supposed to think big. God would not put you in here. Come on. He would not give you all of this and then have you come out of here talking small, thinking small. Look what God said over in Isaiah 55 and verse 8. God himself said this to people whose thinking is too small. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are because neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are what? Higher than the earth, so are my and my thoughts and your thoughts. I'm here to tell you right now that Joseph was a big thinker. And when he thought big, his brothers wanted to do what? Kill him. And I'm telling you, you start thinking big and watch the devil try to inspire somebody to make you think. What you thinking like that for? Honey, you just tell him this. Anything you can dream, you can produce. God says nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Don't think you're thinking too big for God. Stop trying to bring your dream down to the level of your pocketbook. I'm here to tell you, take your pocketbook up to the level of your dream. My point to you is God has an infinite supply ready for the dream that he gave you. Here's what Brother Copeland said. Don't be disobedient to God's heavenly vision found in Acts chapter 26. How about the man named Jabez? The Jabez in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9. Here was Jabez. Well, he said this, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that your hand would be with me, and that you will keep me from evil. I pray that prayer almost every day. Folks, when I got here, nobody knew me. I started in a house with somebody. I didn't even have our own home. I'm saying, look what God has done. Every day I confess that. What are we doing now? Preaching gospel all over the world. What are we doing? Flying to this place, having crusades here, winning multitudes there. Look what God is doing. He's still expanding my ideas. Tuskegee or aircraft or whatever have you. I'm saying Joseph Business School. Man, you need no respect of persons. He's waiting on you to dream. And there are spirits that are affecting the dreaming that God can produce. Look at the man Booker T. Washington. He came to Tuskegee in Alabama with nothing but woods. And a picture was taken of him eating lunch, biting a sandwich with an umbrella over his head. Why? It was raining outside, and he was in a church building where he started a school, and that was all he had. Nothing. That was in 1885. But in 1905, he was graduating more self-made millionaires than Harvard, Yale, and Princeton combined. Look, in 1915, he had built 107 buildings. No, they wouldn't sell him brick. Nobody would sell the black man bricks. So he made his own bricks. I'm talking about you are a dreamer. And you like Joseph. Your dream is so big that when you start talking about it, people may not like you. But I got news for you. The vengeance of the Lord is about to come into your life. If you'll just dream big, God will give you every resource he has so that you can make it come to pass. Because it's not your dream, it's his dream dreaming through you. Give God praise, that's all we got. Woo-wee!
I have a dream. That one day, there's a song called To Dream the Impossible. Fight the unbeatable fight. God has a plan for you. Guaranteed. The enemy has probably come against your mind to shrink that plan down. Is something that was to be incapable of inheriting your inheritance, because the inheritance is huge. But I believe that you're going to say for the next 7 days the prayer of Jabez. That God is going to expand your intellectual capacity, and you're going to hold dreams that you've never held before. Give God praise. That's all we have. If you need to be born again, I want to pray for you right now. We're out of time, so I just have to ask you one time. If you know in your life that you've never been born again, or you sense in your life that if something happened to you... Not-